Clearing up any confusion on VoxNest Dynamo, VoxNest Team Retreat in Orlando, and a wrap-up on PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando, and an audio comment. Well, you're listening to the Spreaker Live Show. This is episode 146 for February 14th, 2018. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Spreaker Live Show today. It's great to have you with us on board. My name is Rob Greenlee, and I'm the head of partnerships for a new company called VoxNest. It comprises of Spreaker and Block Talk Radio. And it's an exciting time for the company. And I know we covered it last week on this episode or on this show. And I wanted to talk about a little bit more this week. So I'm back from Orlando, Florida, and I'm getting back in the groove again. And just like every other podcaster, they have technical struggles whenever they use kind of a different or unique setup in a different situation, especially when you're on the road or doing something different. And that was the case today. Had a lot of fun getting this show kind of up and going. Alex, Mr. Alex Exum is on the podcast with me again. He's the host of the Exum Experience podcast on Spreaker. Alex, it's great to have you on.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, we always, you know, there's not always, not actually rarely, I should say always. We rarely have issues with audio, so we shouldn't complain, because I've had fiascos before where I've done entire interviews and it didn't record and I didn't have a backup, right? I'm sure every podcaster's had something like that, or you just didn't hit the record button. So we haven't, I mean, we're doing the show. We got through it, right? We just a slight delay, so not a crisis. But I got to say, interesting to see the photos from your Twitter account, and I'm sure you got hammered at pod.
Oh yeah,
at the podcast conference. I'm sure you got hammered, but it was great to see. And I think anybody who follows you on Twitter, it was good to see the whole team there. The marriage of the three companies, I guess, right? Because you have people from all three there. So
yeah,
good to see.
Yeah, from all over the world. It's really exciting to get everybody. It's the first time everybody had met and gotten together down at the PodFest down in Orlando. So that's what we're talking about. Is this past week and weekend, I was down in Orlando, Florida, at the PodFest Multimedia Expo, and it was about 600-700 people down there. A really exciting event. Had a lot of fun down there. It was hot, hot and humid, which is what you would expect in Orlando, Florida. But not so much this time of the year. It was kind of unseasonably hot down there this time of the year. So, but it was good. It was good to see everybody. You know, all of the fun stuff down there. But before we jump into too much deeper on that, I wanted to just remind everybody that we stream the show live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, from SpreakerLiveShow.com, and you can hear the show on the Amazon Echo smart speaker devices, as Spreaker has a Amazon Echo Alexa skill. So if your Alexa just woke up, hopefully she didn't stop the show. She just kind of peeked around, and her little blue light spun around a little bit and pointed at the speaker, which is usually what happens, Alex. The Spreaker Live Show is also heard in Android and iOS apps. We have our own custom apps over there, so you can check out the show over there. And this show is really going to be all about talking about VoxNest Dynamo and the kind of new company, the Team Retreat down in Orlando, and really a wrap-up of the PodFest Multimedia Expo. So that's kind of the thing. And we also got an audio comment, so I'm going to play that from a listener of the show, Kyle Wilcox. He's going to jump in and ask a question about VoxNest. And Alex, I didn't actually send you that.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard it on SoundCloud.
Oh, you did? Okay, awesome. Yeah. So anyway, well, let's just jump in and start talking about the VoxNest Dynamo product. And there's been some confusion a little bit. I don't know if you saw it, Alex.
Yeah, a little on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of confusion, I guess, and we've been kind of, it's a brand new product, so we're sorting things out. Just there's sometimes unintended consequences for things that maybe you hadn't really thought of that happens with new products. And that kind of happened with the Dynamo product, where in combination with, we should probably say what Dynamo is, Alex. I don't know. Have you played around with it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not so much since the last show. I, you know, we talked about it on the last show. I just get a little bit gun shy with, I'm sure new users do, with the new tools, right?
Yeah.
So when I was just at the point of switching, not switching everything over, I know that's a bad way of saying it. I know that's like, but, you know, generating the new, I guess, RSS feed, It's not generating a new RS feed. No, you're not going to like that either. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
Once
it's about to pull the trigger.
To media
the new
box.
Links.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So what you're creating is new links to your media files is essentially what you're doing.
And before I pulled the trigger on that, I was realizing, you know, I said, well, when I go in there and I do all this, I might as well go in and at least put in the insertion points going forward. And maybe at least, you know, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 shows going back. You know what I'm saying, Rob? Like the most recent shows.
Yeah.
So I figured I was going to do it all at once. And then I just got overwhelmed. I said, I can't do this right now. And I moved on to something else. But so that the last time that I really played around with it was shortly after we did that show when I was going to, you know, pull the trigger. And then I kind of backed out. But, you know, I understand why people are a little because it's a completely, totally different looking layout. It's very simplified, I think. But compared to the current Spreaker CMS, right, we have to like distinguish between the two. And not even – I don't want to even talk about Blog Talk Radio because I went over there and I was like, wait a second. They've got a whole different thing going on. No, seriously, right? I mean because it, like between Voxness and Dynamo. So it's like I was like, I don't know what they're like thinking because I'm sure they're confused, right? Like, well, how do we do this? I think it's very simple, the new layout and everything, but – with I'm just more comfortable with Spreaker. I just got used to the new Spreaker CMS, right? I just finally kind of mastered that. And like I got a little gun shy. So, but I'm going to do it. I have to. I mean, you don't have a choice, right? I mean, if you want to really advance your show, at least monetize it in any kind of reasonable way, what else are you going to do? So anyway.
Well, I wanted to, you know, really the big thing that came out of this past week was the realization of a couple of consequences. If you're a Spreaker podcaster and you go in and you turn on Dynamo, you do all the things to get it all set up, it has a little bit of an unintended consequence that we're going to be basically fixing. It causes a conflict between the two. So if you're signed up for the monetization
program. Didn't we mention that before? Mentioned that on the show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a conflict that happens between Spreaker and Dynamo. So Spreaker has a monetization tool, especially if you're signed up for the monetization tool on Spreaker. You probably shouldn't use Dynamo if you're signed up for the monetization tool on Spreaker because it causes a conflict in the system. And ultimately what's going to wind up happening is we're going to wind up blocking Spreaker users from signing up for Dynamo just because of some conflicts that happens around the dynamic ad insertion and unintended conflicts that happen there.
Okay, so wait a second. So I hate to interrupt, but we have to because I think on the last show we said that the best option would be to turn off, and I don't know if you can do that even, but to turn off the monetization. Well, you can do that. Turn off the monetization for Spreaker and go with Dynamo, but now you're saying no.
Well, I'm just saying if you do that, you're basically going to lose monetization on
completely.
Spreaker. So that's the problem because Dynamo primarily is focused on ad insertion into downloads, into your RSS feed. So if you turn off Spreaker and you turn on Dynamo, you're basically only going to get ad insertion into your RSS feed. That's it. So no ads will play on the Spreaker platform. So that just tells you a little bit of the conflict. So the only real advantage to go with Dynamo right now is that it has mid-roll insertions, which I know is more favorable to some people. But I want to say that mid-roll insertions are coming to Spreaker and coming soon, like in a few weeks.
Now, when we say mid-roll insertions, we don't mean it'll place them, you know, midway point or randomly. We mean you can edit the insertion wherever you want.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it's all that stuff that you were talking about of going into each of your episodes and placing an insertion point in a certain place in the show.
Which is pretty easy to do. I tried it. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly quick. So
yeah, it is. But what we're trying to do is kind of make sure that this is working in the proper way, because if you combine these two things together, it has the possibility of inserting multiple spots and all this kind of stuff into your show, and that may not be what you want. So.
Well, we were worried about that. Well, remember, we kind of realized as we talked our way through it on the last show. So, yeah, glad that you mentioned that because I'm just more comfortable, Rob. I don't know how I'd like to hear the comments of the other users. I'm more comfortable with the analytics, the monetization and everything on the CMS. Now, it's probably because the other one's so new. The other one's new, but it's totally different feel.
Yeah, and it's not entirely fully built out yet. I mean, it's a new product, but for people, it's really geared towards, I'll be really frank about it, it's really geared towards people that are hosting outside of the Spreaker platform. I mean, those that are hosting on competing platforms.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah.
That don't generally have access to monetization tools. So, I mean, a lot of the competitive platforms to Spreaker out there don't really have an automated monetization program like Dynamo has.
Now, what about Blog Talk Radio users? Should they not?
Those already have the ability to do all this stuff already. So you're not really getting anything new over there.
So they're not interested. Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it would be people that are out completely outside of the ecosystem is ideal right now. And then as mid-rolls come to Spreaker, you're going to have all the same tools that Dynamo has here within a couple of weeks. So my recommendation is to turn off Dynamo and go back to Spreaker if you're a Spreaker host and just use those tools until we add the mid-roll insertion.
And if you haven't signed up or pulled the trigger, then just don't even do it at all. And because you're not there's nothing to gain other than you're saying the mid-roll, which we're going to be getting anyway at Spreaker. Right. So I'm but people are like me and they want to try the new features and you know what I mean? And you're just like, I want everything new. And
Exactly. But if you have a show hosted somewhere else,
it's worthwhile.
It's certainly something to play around with and see if it works for you. Here in the next few days, it's probably not even going to be possible to get a Dynamo account if you're hosted on Spreaker. I think it's going to wind up getting
blocked. You're going to block it off.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. But I wanted to play a audio comment that we got from Kyle Wilcox, who sent us, and he posted it to SoundCloud. I'm sure you know that, Alex, right?
Yeah, I think that's how I listen to the comment. And I think that's a great way to do it, too. I mean, if people are a little, you know, I don't know, you don't have to, but that's a good way if you want to send it directly. I mean, it's going to be heard publicly anyway, right? So yeah. I think it's a great way to do it. So
let's play this audio comment. And it's really an audio comment about VoxNest. And then we can come back and talk about it here. Hang on. Here's Kyle.
Hello, Rob and Alex. I just want to leave you some audio comment feedback on the most recent episode about the, I guess it's called VoxNest, a new company, parent company. And the first comment is about the advertising. And I kind of agree with what you guys were saying about how it's kind of annoying to have an ad play as the first thing. And I like the idea of even if a show just says like this episode of the so and so podcast is brought to you by, and then let the ad play. It just seems like at least you know what you're getting into, and you get to know the name of the show. So, I don't like it when the ad just is the very first thing and you don't even know like what show you're listening to. So maybe there's a way to do a pre-roll ad and then have Spreaker insert a 10-second, you know, intro thing or something like that even before the ad or something. I don't know. This episode is brought to you by the following sponsors or something. But anyways, about that. And then the other thing that I like the idea of is the Hive thing. And in my situation, I work, I mean, we're never going to get to the 10, 20,000 downloads or whatever. I do podcasts at a school district. We have 9 different school buildings, and then 4 of the buildings have chosen to do their own podcast. So they're paying for it out of their own individual budgets, even though I manage all of them. So right now I have 4 different Spreaker accounts. So it would be great if there would be some way, even for the smaller podcasters, if I could just kind of have one account where I'm in charge of the whole thing, and then I delegate permissions down to the other people, but still let them keep their billing separate. So that would be a really nice feature for us to have. So yeah, those are my thoughts and comments, and just excited to keep using the Spreaker platform. Thanks.
Kyle, great. Thank you for the thoughts and the comment. I appreciate you sending us the audio feedback on that, on really your two core topics or your comments. Really things that I've thought about a lot, too, and that's the whole topic. And I know, Alex, you feel this way, too. The whole pre-roll kind of like putting a stop sign up to your show, but nonetheless,
it's a killer.
Yeah, that's where we are today. I mean, a lot of the advertisers are looking for that, and I think that there is something that we as a platform should be looking at to try and soften that, you know, and that's why I think it's such a hot topic to talk about pre or early mid-roll type of ads. So, and I think that's probably where we're going to find ourselves here very quickly in just a couple weeks. So hang in there, and I think we'll have a solution for that that issue here soon, because I agree, and I think most people that are involved in podcasting would agree with that too, Alex. So I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, the one thing I agree absolutely, and everyone knows how I feel about that, but I got to say, the other day I was listening to KFI, they're a big radio, biggest talk radio station out here in LA. Yeah. And they're on Spreaker, right? So I go there and all of a sudden I'm hearing the Spreaker ads before their show. But the ads are so professionally done. They're like radio ads. I'm sure you've heard them if you have a Spreaker yes. account and you've monetized. And I was like, it just – to me, it struck me as being part of the show because I'm used to hearing radio ads on KFI. You know what I mean, Rob? So yeah. I was like it didn't really take me out of it. So it was one of the rare occasions I'm like, wow, you know, it kind of just like flew – it flowed right through and it didn't turn me off. It didn't go away. But I'd like to be able to control it. Everybody knows that. The other thing I know he mentioned in that comment was the ability to control – multiple accounts because yeah. apparently he works for a school system and he's got all these accounts. It must be a nightmare. So I absolutely agree with that. Maybe not because I know that, you know, you can't just give away the keys of the kingdom, Rob, right? But maybe the radio station account, you know, or level, I'm saying, subscription, and then maybe you could, you know, have multiple people log into the same account. Because I know that's a hassle if you want to use it as something for a radio type station online or do a lot of different people live from different areas and they have to log in and log out. You don't want to have someone who has all the control, right? Because currently it's one login, one password. Yeah. And that could be a little tricky. So anyway, and we love the audio comments, right, Rob? So please, yeah. folks, send them. It's just it's great for the show and it shows that I think people are listening. And because sometimes, you know, podcasters know this. It's a black hole out there. If you don't comment or don't send us a comment or we don't see it in the show notes, you know, we don't know what you think. So we love them.
We want to comment and talk about topics that you're wanting to talk about and top of mind too. It's really great to get those. But I want to make a comment a little bit about the multi-user comment sure. that he had in there. The new Hive product that's going to come out here fairly soon, probably within a month or two, is going to support multi-login type of scenarios. It's not necessarily designed the way that Kyle was talking about, which I think is an interesting idea, is to have different logins under different paid accounts. So like you can group a group of like four or five separate paid accounts inside of one master kind of like network type of experience. That's not something that we've put in our plans to do. What we did do with the Hive product, and it's going to be a little bit more expensive of a product, but maybe that works for you and your school district. I'm not sure, but would be to have one account that you can have many shows, just like what you were wanting, and to be able to create separate logins for each show producer. So you can log in to each of those shows separately. So you don't give kind of global access to all the shows off of one account like you currently have to do with Spreaker today. It is something that's coming. I don't know if the new plan that would be associated with Hive is something that you would be interested in, Kyle, but that's something that I'd be more than happy to talk to you about once that product is available. And it may be the solution that you're looking for. It just may be a little bit more expensive than the Spreaker product that you're using today. But who knows, if you add up all those separate accounts that you have right now, it may be almost the same. So,
but Rob, didn't he say that he doesn't get anything close to 20,000 downloads per episode? Don't you need a certain amount
No, Hive is not necessarily an advertising platform. That's basically the Spreaker CMS system that's being broken out from Spreaker and expanded upon to create a more of a professional tool that is really targeted towards networks and larger podcast creators or radio stations or networks that want to build and support multiple shows based on some specific needs that those people have that Spreaker's current architecture of their CMS system doesn't really cater to. It's a publishing platform just like the Spreaker CMS. So it's going to have dynamic ad insertion. It's going to have all those monetization tools too that we're rolling out in Dynamo and in Spreaker. So it's just going to have some more advanced stuff in there that isn't in Spreaker.
But there's no restrictions on who can join then?
You create one account.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, do you have to have an average amount of downloads? Because I thought it was $20,000. Well, that's what it says on the website. It says that you have to have at least 20,000 downloads per episode to even request an invitation. That's what I thought. I'll go back there right now.
I think it's being targeted towards those type of networks and those type of shows that are
maybe
are
that's
catering
a,
to that.
Okay, maybe that's a reference point, right? Like, yeah, you know, like maybe that's what they're looking for. I mean, look, I'll request an invite. We'll see what happens. I mean, they can obviously figure out my numbers pretty quick, right?
Well,
for the XM experience. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
doubt
it's going to be more of a paid account. So it's not going to be like Dynamo that's strictly an ad revenue share type of deal.
So in other words, maybe that – here, now I'm thinking – I'm sorry, Rob. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm thinking out loud. Maybe that 20,000 downloads is just trying to get people to realize, like, the price points are going to be pretty high. Like,
well, yeah, right? And I think it's
– I'm reading it wrong, folks.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You're going to need to be a more of a commercial company that's trying to do this at scale. And I think that was really the intent of that number is – those are the type of publishers that we're looking for. But if it's a school district that has 30 or 40 shows – it probably makes sense because you're going to have probably 30 or 40 different publishers that are working with the tool.
And I'm thinking not only schools, but a lot of those LPFMs that are coming up, right, who are going to have tons of different podcasts are going to have to use, you know, probably archive for the station. So, yeah, that makes sense for bigger people.
And that tool will also get some support on the advertising side. So that's probably where that number really comes from is if you're going to be doing host reads and things like that, you really need to have shows that are at that scale.
Makes sense. Okay. Just wanted to clarify because it was a little confusing.
So, Kyle, thank you so much for the great
thanks, Kyle.
Comments. And we definitely want to hear from any of you. Please send us an email or a link to, like what Kyle did here, to a SoundCloud player, or just post them to your Spreaker account or whatever and send them on over. I'd be happy to. But I think the most common way is just to attach it. You know, attach your MP3 to an email because typically these aren't going to be any longer than, you know, a couple minutes. So they'll easily pass through as an email. So if you want to send it to rob@spreaker.com.
And they've sounded great, I got to say. The last few comments we've had here have said that the mics sound fantastic. They're obviously using pretty good equipment. So
yeah,
audio sounds great.
They're usually podcasters, so they got their equipment.
but there's some listeners who I know listeners of this show that use their phone still, you know. To do their podcast through the which is fine, you know. Well, some of these phones sound really good now. So.
Yeah, I mean, Spreaker supports that. I actually encourage that. If you can get a good microphone for your iPhone or your Android device, you can. There's no reason why you can't produce a good quality sounding audio show. So there's nothing to really hold you back. You can do it live that way too, as we both know.
exactly. And even the microphone. I have a Samsung Galaxy, and the microphone, using it as a Spreaker phone recording with the Spreaker app, it sounds really good. I used it at Podcast Movement, to record. So anyway, it's not a bad way to record. That's all I got to say. I've done it a bunch of times when I'm mobile.
No, that's true. The whole Dynamo thing is an evolving tool, and if you're listening to this and you have a podcast hosted somewhere else, go over there and give it a try. We're trying to get more shows into the platform to have it actually operate at scale. So we're definitely looking for some new shows and so we can battle test it, as they say, Alex.
I like that.
So, and just see if it's going to work. And you, if you have a show that has a decent audience, you might make some serious money over there. So definitely go check that out. It's just at voxnest.com and you can sign up for it. Moving on, Alex, let's talk a little about the Voxnest team retreat. I know I published a bunch of photographs, and I know that a bunch of the Spreaker team members published a bunch of photographs too from down there. But it was a really great kind of team building event. We all spent a lot of time together, all like 28, 29 of us. So it was really a great, great time. I spent, you know, half of the time over at the conference, though, at the PodFest Multimedia Expo. So I wasn't with the team as much as I would have liked to have been on, you know, in more of a normal Spreaker retreat because I had to work the conference. Voxnest and Spreaker had a booth over there and met with lots and lots of podcasters from the meeting. There was about 600-700 people at the event, and I really had a good time there. It's a growing event. It seems to be getting larger every year. Just from the pictures, Alex, what was your thought?
Well, the pictures look great, but who is the attendee there? Now, is it a podcasting? I mean, are there podcasters there learning to podcast and conferences for podcasters? Or who's the 600 people that were there? I'm sure 100 of those were or exhibitors or something, right?
So
speakers.
There was probably about 25 booths or exhibitors there, but it's just like Podcast Movement.
Usual suspects.
Yeah, current podcasters, ones that are trying to start up. There was quite a few people there that were just looking at starting their shows and trying to find a host, you know, all those kinds of things. And I talked to quite a few people that were doing what's called self-hosting. There still seems to be probably about 20%, I would say, of the podcast space today is self-hosting, which means that they go to like a HostGator or something like that, Alex, and they put up a WordPress blog. They host all their MP3 files right off of that same web server. And some of them are doing it at scale. I mean, some of them have like multiple shows, and but they're only paying like $17 a month or something like that. So I had to really, really quiz them a lot on that because it's a little risky to support that many
shows. But what kind of work are they doing in the background? Yeah. That's my whole thing. I mean, so maybe they're paying $17 a month for the hosting, but they're uploading and tagging. I can only imagine, Rob. You know what it's like to do all that. I mean, to host it on your own server, anything and everything does go wrong. All of a sudden, stuff just doesn't work. It gets overloaded. Yeah. You go over your bandwidth. They shut it down. I mean, I don't know, man. Seems like the price point sounds fantastic. But for everyone who's going, oh, well, I'm going to switch over to that, trust me, it's not as easy as you think. You know what it's like, Rob, the olden days of like coding and doing everything yourself for your website going to a Squarespace or a Wix or something like this and just slapping it up overnight, right? I mean, it's just you can build a house with a hammer and nails or you could use power tools. It'll get the job done. But it's just a pain in the butt, man. Anyway, I'm sorry. Really? I mean, it's like using those really inexpensive host platforms usually don't have the tools on the other end. You know what I mean, Rob?
Yeah, no, so. they don't. And the whole tracking of downloads and plays and stuff like that. Yeah,
and then you're installing really all accurate. These plugins and stuff to do the same things that, you know what I mean? And it's like you got to – and then they don't work. You got to – oh, my. It's a nightmare. I'm sorry. I've tried it. I remember a long, long time ago, I'm like, well, that's the way to go. You know what I mean? I said, oh, no, this is a nightmare. The same thing like, you know, your own website and, you know, get doing your own. It's just it's easier to have a service deal with all that. And then there's the security issues. Right now, people, they can siphon off your ads like because I monetize. And imagine if you're trying to monetize and you're running ads on your website and stuff and people are ripping that off. That happens famously. There's a Russian group going around just ripping people's AdSense money off their own pages. You know what I mean? So it's like I don't want to deal with all that stuff, Rob.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, for years and years, I had some co-located servers that I was running my own server network. I wasn't even getting a HostGator account or something like that. I was actually physically owning my own servers and putting them in a co-location facility. That's how I got started doing all this stuff, was going to that degree because bandwidth, for any kind of a show that had any kind of volume or scale was just overly expensive. And you couldn't put it on one of those HostGator accounts or something like that because you'd always completely max out your bandwidth and they'd wind up kicking you off and turning you off.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, anytime I go to a podcast where it's not working, the link doesn't work, it's outdated or whatever, and it points me somewhere else or some stupid stuff like that, it's always someone who's like hosting their own stuff. It always is, because you can usually get rid of all that crap if you're using a service because it's constantly being backed up and automated. And anyway, I don't understand it. It just seems like a lot of work, Rob. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I do. And I tried to convince them that they should probably look at using a platform that's designed for podcasting. And I think that's the key thing. There's been so many innovations and so many improvements to the process that, you know, trying to do it the old school way just doesn't make sense anymore. Plus,
what's your time worth?
Well, that and also it slows down the experience of people that want to go to your website and do other things with your website. So it's, you know, it's not the smart way to go, but yeah, it's working for some people.
And God love them. Hey, no, if it works for them and they're only paying $17 and they're hosting how many ever, you know, that you said, it sounds like a network.
Some of them had like 20 shows that they were hosting on a $17 HostGator account. So I can't, you know, it's kind of hard to really
knock that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really compete with that. But then again, you know, that's still a significant part of this industry. And there's still a lot of people self-hosting. So,
well, if you're making money, I hope they're making money at it. And then if it's only $17 for their bandwidth,
much money in order to pay their hosting bill.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. They could pay someone to do it because it's only $17 a month. Yeah. For, you know, so if they're getting a couple hundred bucks, they can get some kid in college or, you know, hire some guy in Dubai or not Dubai, but, you know, someplace over in India, get one of these coders you can hire online at one of these auction sites. You just tell them what you want, whatever, maintain this and boom, I guess you could do it then, Rob, if you know you got some income. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be a little more expensive to host that type of a network on like a Spreaker, especially if you got like 10 years of archives like these guys have. That's really why it would be more expensive, is because there's just so many archives.
Yeah, and different shows. They might have different logins for different people, like we were talking. You never know what they're doing. Yep.
So as far as going back to the Voxnest team at the retreat and things like that, we just really just came together as a team, got to know each other, did fun things together, ate together. All of us had, you know, a teammate in our room, so we were like able to really spend a lot of quality time together, set some goals, direction for the company. So I think we're a much more cohesive team coming out of it. So I think we're going to be much better at supporting you as a podcaster around, you know, getting back to you on customer service and being able to come up with quick answers for everybody. I think that's the challenge, and that's the opportunity of getting together and getting to know each other, is so we can share information and better support our podcasters. And that was the whole purpose of being at PodFest too, is to actually reach out and shake people's hands and be involved. But did you hear, Alex, about Dave Jackson getting roasted?
I wish I could have seen. Is that posted somewhere there where I can watch that?
I don't know. I don't think
it's
so.
There's got to be video of that.
They were a little scared about putting that out because it was pretty raunchy.
Good. I don't want to hear it. Somebody's got a recording. I'll find it on the end.
I think there were a couple people that actually recorded it.
I know somebody's got it. I'll find it somewhere. But I would have loved to have heard it.
The SHITs were thrown all over
pretty
the place.
Blue. Yes. Okay, pretty blue. Yeah. Well, no, I would have loved to have heard it. That would have been awesome. I wish I was there for that one. No, he's a good guy. I'm sure it was funny. I mean, I love roasts, you know, but sometimes they can get a little brutal. So
they definitely got brutal at times.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. Even nasty. Rob Walsh from Lipson was up there, and he roasted Dave, and then Dave roasted him. So that was an invaluable experience as well. So
that must have been fun. All right. Well, I'm sure that was a lot of fun. I'm glad. I wish I would have been there. I wish I wouldn't have missed it, but hopefully I'll find a copy.
But I didn't get any recordings at the event. It was just too busy. I didn't have time to sit down and actually record anything. But it's still, PodFest Multimedia Expo is still a regional event. It's growing. There was more people there this year than last year. So that's about all time we have, Alex.
Okay. Yeah. Went by
this
quick.
This week, I think we need to wrap up the show and move on and let our listeners move on with their lives. But we certainly want you to come back and check us out next week, next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, at SpreakerLiveShow.com. And we will actually be able to bring you a little bit more content on how to podcast next week. That's my goal, Alex, versus talking about all this other stuff that's been going
business.
On around.
Too much business, Rob. Let's get back to the art. Let's get back
it's got
to
be
art.
Fun. Tell some bad and dry jokes, Alex.
I can do that.
Okay, sounds good. But
let's roast each other. No.
Roast, there you go. But if you want to send a comment or a thought or an audio comment, send it to rob@voxnest.com. That's rob@voxnest.com. And be happy to play that on the show, comment about it, or roast you, maybe depending on what you say. So, but anyway, all fun, and we have fun on this show. Thank you so much for listening, and come back and check us out next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, SpreakerLiveShow.com.